Firstly, I'd like to thank you, Tim, for the opportunity to preach here at St Paul's again this morning. Very grateful. Let me pray. Lord, we ask you to open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, Lent has begun. What might Lent mean to you and me? Maybe a new baby in the family. But have you already begun to think about giving up sugar in your tea or coffee? Or giving up that extra hour in bed? Or your wine, glass of wine or beer before the evening meal until Easter when you get back to it again? Or giving up TV on Sundays? All sorts of ways that some people choose to interpret and practice Lent. But of course, Lent is far more than a focus on what we give up for a period in that respect. As you may have picked up, Tim has chosen that we're going to look at some of these psalms through this period of Lent. And today, Psalm 32. And maybe you picked up from the reading of that the strong theme coming through is that of forgiveness. If you like our Lenten word for this week, forgiveness. Now, David, the writer of that psalm in the Old Testament days, of course, remembered his incident, a sad incident way back recorded in the book of Samuel, where he was not only guilty of committing adultery with Bathsheba, but then went on to plot the death of her husband Uriah. And in another Psalm 51, he records his confession, his plea for forgiveness. "Have mercy on me, O God," he writes, "according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." But then in today's Psalm, David, he expresses his real delight in what God has done for him. "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit." Well, Sunday by Sunday, and already we've done this, we get together and confess our sins as a congregation. We ask our Heavenly Father to forgive us our sins, to which the vicar declares that through the cross of Christ, God has mercy on us, sets us free, and gives us assurance that we are forgiven. Yes, we know it's through Christ's work on the cross and through his victorious resurrection that this forgiveness is offered and made possible. But I wonder how much we realise just how important this is. How blessed we are to be forgiven. David certainly did, even before he knew anything and didn't know anything of the work of the cross. "Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." So David didn't succumb to the temptation to cover up his sin. He was prepared to confess it all to the Lord. And as we read, the Lord dealt with it in his grace and forgiveness. And David seems full of joy and thankfulness at that very truth. So he moved from any temptation to cover it up to being covered by the grace of God. From cover up, if you like, to covered. So what about you and me? Are we tempted to cover up our sin, our shortcomings? To pretend they're not there? Or that, well, this little sin won't really matter, surely? Or we compare ourselves with somebody who has blatantly broken the law, so we don't feel too bad about ourselves in comparison. Of course, the Bible makes it clear that sin, big or small, obvious or hidden, is not good in the eyes of our God, and so needs to be dealt with in God's gracious way. So what does it mean for us to be forgiven, for our sin to be covered? So fellow Bob Sheffield, he was an international hockey player in Canada. He was a pretty tough fellow who got into fights and violence and so forth and finished up in the cells for the night. But one day he came to his senses. Don't know how that happened, but he turned his life over to Christ and everything changed for him. In fact, he started to work for the Navigators. That's known to some of us as a Bible support ministry that put Bibles into hotels and motels and the like. In fact, Bob was asked to go on a promotional trip across the border from Canada into the States. But the problem was, of course, that the immigration people were not happy about him because of his criminal record. So he was turned down for that trip. But he applied for a royal pardon, which was ultimately granted. And this meant that if he ever was asked whether he had a criminal record, he could truthfully say, no. The police's computer files now showed no record against his name. So his crime, if you like, was covered. He was now a free man, which, of course, is what the work of our Saviour Jesus has done for you and me. In his forgiving us, God can now write, Graham Button, or your name, no record of sin. Just amazing, isn't it? In his eyes, when we are forgiven by the work of the cross, no sin is recorded against me or you. As somebody once said, Jesus came to rub it out, not to rub it in. To rub it out, not to rub it in. I'd like us just to pause here for a few moments. We've already had our confession and absolution, and we treat that respectfully and sincerely, I trust. But if you're like me, sometimes it can be easily routine Sunday words, Sunday parts of our service we go through. And so I'm suggesting we just take a few moments to quietly bring to mind maybe a sin, an issue in our life that we know we've been guilty of, but we've been rather reluctant to acknowledge, and therefore hasn't really been confessed or repented of before God. Just pause quietly, prayerfully, as we just call to mind maybe something, maybe nothing, but maybe something. It might be a word, it might be an action, it might be an attitude. Thank you, Father God, for your free and full forgiveness given through Jesus our Saviour. So there's no record of sin against us. We are free once again. Thanks be to God. Amen. But I haven't finished yet. God says in verse 8 of this psalm, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. An instruction, a guidance, a prompting from God for David, but maybe for us. And I think one of the promptings that comes from our Lord Jesus come in his familiar words, the words that we use and will use later. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. I'm pretty confident that David learned from God's amazing forgiveness of himself that in turn he needed to forgive those who may have offended him. And so the implication surely is that we cannot be forgiven by God unless we're willing to forgive others we live amongst. They do go together, as in Jesus' words to us. And his own parable we've heard this morning from Matthew chapter 18 underlines the importance of this, surely. The servant who owed his master a huge sum in gold. And after he pleaded for understanding and forgiveness, the master cancelled the debt and let him go. After which this selfsame servant went off to a fellow servant who owed him a relative pittance. Yet he pressed him to pay up. And when he couldn't, he had him thrown into prison. It's a story, but it has a message, isn't it? A pretty obvious message, I think. That we who have been given so much, been forgiven so much, and at such great cost by our Saviour, should in our turn offer forgiveness to others. I guess there will be not one person in this church this morning who has not been hurt or offended or damaged or criticised by somebody. And it's possible that that relationship, that hurt, that damage is still lurking in our hearts because we still hold it against that person. It may be somebody in our family, maybe a work colleague, maybe a next door neighbour, somebody within our worshipping congregation. And if that person's name comes to mind, or was mentioned in a conversation somehow, it brings back a negative reaction. This may go back a long way for some. Or it might be something that happened this last week. Our prayer to our Heavenly Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And again, what I'd like is just to pause in the presence of God and allow him to bring to mind any such person or situation which still upsets or annoys us. Any relationship or memory that's been damaged. Something gets in the way of a friendly, loving relationship with that person. And following which, after a bit of silence, we'll lead in a prayer that's going to ask our Holy Spirit to deal with our spirit of unforgiveness, to forgive us for it, but also to enable us to sincerely move on, to forgive that person, and to find then a better, positive attitude. Who might we be thinking of as we spend some moments in silence? So let me pray. Holy Spirit of God, thank you that I, let's take it personally, that I am your forgiven child through the work of the cross. You know me and my heart and any unforgiveness and annoyance I have had towards somebody that I'm thinking of. You know I may find it hard to let go of that spirit. But you are Almighty God, and you are able to do in us what we cannot do of ourselves. Please hear my wish to be given a spirit of forgiveness towards this particular person, so that I might be set free from my present attitude and a better relationship restored. Thank you that you have heard our prayer, and please help me to hold to that forgiveness. And I pray, we all pray, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Have you heard the old saying? People with clenched fists cannot shake hands. People with clenched fists cannot shake hands. I trust that literally, or at least in your heart, myself included, we might be able to shake hands with that person. So thanks to David's openness, his honesty, this psalm can prompt a number of responses in us. The rejoicing in the forgiving work of God, no record held against us in his eyes. And from there, a willingness and a commitment with the Holy Spirit's real help to forgive any who have upset us or offended us, to shake hands again. So in prayer, dear Lord, help us today through this period of Lent and all our days to follow and obey your word and to rejoice in all you have achieved for us through your Son. And we pray these things in his name, and for your glory. Amen.